Willow Creek Springs presents Healthy Living with your host, Joe Grumbine.
We'll just go ahead and start rolling. And
well, you got me on there, huh?
I got you on there. This. I got me on there too. All right, perfect.
Sounds like a great deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the cool thing we can do is let's rewind ourselves all the way back, because when you rolled in here, first of all, I'm glad you're here. Second of all, I didn't know you were coming, and it was just luck of the draw that I was here when you were here, or that I was here up at the top of the property, and you didn't get stuck down up there trying to deal with opening the gate and all that fun stuff.
Well, I was trying to find your number in my phone, and like I said, you and I have been friends for more than years than I can remember.
A lot of years.
All of a sudden, I go to call you up, and your phone number's on my phone anymore. Now, this is your wife's phone.
Right, but she don't answer it.
No, about once out of five times she'll answer the telephone.
And she's seldom where I am, so that's the other glitch.
She doesn't keep track of you much, Joe.
No, she operates on her own set of rules and her own timeline, which is all good for me.
That's a perfect lady.
Good for both of us.
What I was asking, Joe, was about the group that you're going to bring in on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that was on a Sunday.
Yep. It's going to be Sunday, 8 o'clock in the morning. And we had one of our volunteers, who's a mother of a high schooler, who's also a volunteer. And they came out here three weeks ago or so, or maybe a month. And they put in some volunteer hours so that I could sign off community service hours for the high schooler. And they spent a couple hours out here, helped me out, they planted some microgreens, cleared a patch out, we did a tour, everything was great. And then she reaches out to me a week or so later and says, hey, would you mind if I put an event together? And I was like, heck yeah, well, take all the putting together planning we can get. So she created this flyer that is promoting high schoolers to satisfy community service hours. Now, this is a fairly new thing, because when I was in high school, there was no community service hours.
No, well,
that I knew of. I mean,
we did 4-H.
Yeah. There was clubs and things like that, but it was always extracurricular, like the scouts or
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
It was not a requirement for the school, but apparently they have two ways that they do community service hours that I know of anyways. Maybe there's more than that, but one is for what they call the RILA, or the leadership training, and it just gives them an experience of volunteering, which is important for leadership. Most leaders realize that service-oriented leadership is the best way to go, and so first you start helping people, and then they might want to hear what you have to say.
The best way I found out the best way to learn something is to teach someone else.
Absolutely.
And when you're trying to teach someone else, you have to know how to do it yourself. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, then you, if you have any integrity at all,
right,
you will go learn all the nuances of it and figure out how to do it the right way. And then you try to teach people to do it the right way.
Exactly.
And you know, and then if you can get a willing audience, because a lot of times when you're teaching someone, they will know more than you do. And that's a back that in this world that we all have something to learn. We can all be taught, and if we allow ourselves to be. So I love it. I love it when I hear you talking about bringing people in here, especially knowing the history of the Willow Creek Springs, that you're helping people. You've always helped people, and people don't understand what helping each other means. They don't understand that.
I know.
And
it's a lost art anymore, but we're bringing it back.
Joe, when I go to help somebody, and I help a lot of people, you know, you help a lot of people.
Sure.
But a lot of people look at me, and they look at you with an eye that says, what are you getting out of this?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you up to?
What are you up to? What are you trying to do?
They don't get it. This world doesn't have enough people like us anymore.
True.
And we're a dying breed. So we have to show the rest of the world that it's okay to be like us.
Well, there's a secret trick to this whole thing, and that people who do give and volunteer have learned, that you get more than you give when you do these things.
Absolutely.
And you know, if you've ever done something really good for somebody and had witnessed a real change in their situation, and that real, it's not about the gratitude, it's just about the feeling. It's about knowing that it happened. And when somebody comes to you and says, wow, you really made a difference.
That's the key right there. All it takes is one.
Yeah, you can't describe that, like, you know, whatever drug or experience that people seek, those, you know, brain chemicals, jumping out of airplanes and doing crazy things to feel good. And people will go to great extremes, but you know what makes you feel good? Just make somebody smile, like, you know, help them out, give them something that, like, for example, when Joe came out here a month and a half ago and said, hey, Ronnie needed some firewood. And I thought to myself, well, shoot, what a perfect, cool thing. Like, she inspired me with this whole firewood project. And I thought to myself, I got stacks of firewood. I hear I had stacks of firewood. And
no longer.
And I'll have them again. I have them. They're just up in the trees. And I thought to myself, you know, there's something amazing about a fire, right? I mean, just sitting in front of a fire, a campfire, a stove fire, a fireplace fire, it doesn't matter. It's just something really soothing and relaxing and healing about it. Very therapeutic. And I thought to myself, well, I hadn't thought about that. Like, you could send some of this garden therapy home with somebody and they can enjoy it. And to even know, like, in an unknown way that I had something to do with that. And whatever joy you guys got from burning that fire, I got to feel good for it. And I didn't even have to be there. I didn't have to really do anything other than make it so. And I thought, wow. And especially, you know, you're a veteran, a Vietnam veteran. And, you know, we've talked about that, I don't know, for how many years now, about what the hell can I do to help you guys when you won't let me? And I thought, well, this is a perfect thing. Like, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to come here. All they have to do is need something that we have. And we have to figure out the mechanics of it, of getting it from here to there or whatever. But I thought, well, that'd be a great gift, a great offering that this nonprofit can have. And then I walked around with Joe and I was like, holy cow, I got 13 big trees out here. Each of them, some of them is as tall as almost 100 feet tall. There are some big trees with a lot of wood in them. And they're not doing me any good being that tall. I mean, I can use a tree half that size.
It's rather scary when they get up that tall, because they can do a lot of damage.
Well, there's literally tons of wood up in the air there. And you know, especially when it's fresh and wet, that stuff can destroy anything. And so I thought, man, if we could just get some help. And so the first thing we did was we shot a little video and asking. And then I've got, his name is Richard McEwen, and he's a veteran, Afghanistan, that era. And he's in Georgia. And so he got on the phone and he called, I don't know, I think he said he called 32 arborists that were local in the area. And asked them, hey, you know, we got this nonprofit, we got this project. We're looking for people that want to get up there and cut some logs, drop them to the ground, we'll do the rest, and we'll give you a tax write-off. You can keep some of the wood, whatever, we'll figure it out. Out of 32 people, one guy responded and came over, and he didn't understand what it was about. He didn't speak good English, and he thought he was just given a bid. And he quoted me $1,100 a day for three guys to come out, and he says they can drop 2 to 3 trees in a day and safely, and, you know, all the things we need. And he said, or we can pay him $850 per tree and he'll come out and do one tree at a time. And, you know, that price isn't horrible. I have had a guy come out and do the same thing years ago before we had this nonprofit, and it cost me probably $2,500 to get 6-7 trees cut that way. So it was, you know, it's not an unreasonable price. It just is money we don't have. So I want to extend that call, because really it's something that if people understand what's happening with this, like what this means, like I have 50 cords of wood sitting up in these trees or more, a lot of wood, and I could literally have a never-ending firewood stack for people that need it. And all they have to do is come get it.
Well, you know, we were talking about this, and community service is a wonderful thing. You know, when you do something that you have to do community service for, a lot of times the community service, I mean, the crime doesn't equate out to what you're being paid. I mean, right. What you're doing. You know, there's a lot of silly things out there that you get community service for. There's a lot of silly things that we do that can get us community service. You know,
exactly.
I had an arborist,
mm-hmm,
that was going through a divorce, and he went out and on his truck. He didn't have the money to do his registration.
Okay.
So he took another set of license plates from another vehicle.
Oh, no.
Totally against the law.
Yeah.
And put it over on his vehicle.
Yeah, maybe 20 years ago that would work.
And it was, you know, a needs thing. I mean, he thought he needed to do this.
Yeah.
Well, then he went out hunting. And when he went hunting, he left his vehicle parked, and the game warden came up.
Mm-hmm.
Checked his license plate, found out that he was running an illegal license plate on the vehicle.
All right.
Didn't even see him or anything.
Right.
So, right away, they confiscated his truck.
Yeah.
They seized his truck. So he lost his truck just because, you know, he was trying to get around a amount of money. He didn't have the money, but, you know, he was trying to work around this. So he got picked up. He got put in jail. And now he's going to have to do community service.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great place, exactly, for a guy like that to do community service.
Yep.
The only problem is I lost contact with him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he's the one that broke my... Broke my shredder, but he's one fantastic tree man.
Who knows, maybe he'll reach out to you. I sometimes just thinking about something causes it to come around.
Another thing you were talking about earlier, you were saying when you and I were talking, you were saying where one person saying something to you can lift you up out of the most deepest doldrums.
Oh yeah.
And I remember a few years ago, I was at a gymnasium, a health spa,
mm-hmm,
and I was walking through, and I glanced over, and I saw this young lady, and I recognized her. She was probably in her mid-20s, early 20s, and I recognized her from when she was 10 years old, and I walked up to her, and I said, "I don't know if you remember me, but I would like to say hello to you. How you doing?" She said, "Oh my God, I remember you. You're the man that saved my daddy's life."
Wow.
And I'm like, I had never heard or had someone tell me something like that, you know, in my whole life.
Right.
And I never ever hoped or thought that I would hear that from someone.
Right. That's pretty
and what it was is her father had been messed up with meth,
mm-hmm,
and through interacting with myself and some other activists, we got him to leave the meth alone,
okay,
and use marijuana.
All right.
And it was one of our very first successes of getting someone that was using a really addictive, dangerous source to use marijuana instead.
Right.
And he was $137,000 in arrears to the state.
Yikes.
And he was all kind of stuff like that because of his meth addiction. And we worked with him for just a very little while. He did most of the work himself.
Sure, he had to.
And he found a good woman.
Good.
They, you know, they always have to find a good partner.
Yep.
And he found a good woman, and she helped him get his life right.
Nice.
And I thought myself personally that she had done 99.9% of the work rather than me, mm-hmm. you know. But he ended up paying off or paying back all of the money that he owed the state. He ended up getting his records, what do they call it?
Expunged. Mm-hmm.
He came up and he was in his mid-50s at that time. He went down and applied for a class 4 driver's license to drive semis.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his license and everything. And the people could not believe how good a man he was, or he had no citations, yeah. nothing on his driver's license because everything had been expunged.
Right.
So he got a second chance through that, and he ran with it.
Yeah, and that's rare. Most people that have those kind of problems don't break free. But you know what? That's the beauty of humanity. Time you think you're going to give up on humanity, you think about that one time.
All that it takes one person, is one.
That one. And, you know, regardless of what your spiritual beliefs are or your path is, there's something about the redemption of humanity that is always possible. And, you know, when you can be a part of that and help somebody, you know, I've lifted up a lot of people. Most of them sunk back into their mess or turned me into some kind of a bad guy or whatever, all the stupid things that happen. But there's a couple of them throughout the way that have...
But you yourself know...
Righted their own boat and got on sailing.
You yourself know, Joe, that the key is not what you're doing when you're in the spotlight.
Right.
It's what you do when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
It's what you do...
It's mostly what it is.
It's what you do when the lights are out and when nobody's seeing you do it. You're still doing it. You're still doing the same thing that you were before. And there's a lot of them people out there. There's a lot of those people out there that want to stand up and they want to pound their chest.
look at me.
And they want to say, I'm the godfather of pot.
Right, right.
You know, we heard that other day. Oh. In another conversation at a different time. We heard that, you know.
Yeah.
And we both know the efforts that we have put in. And most of the time we try, me especially, to stay in the background.
Sure.
You know, I was, like you, I was a radio personality for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was a talk show host or right. co-host for 6 years. And that was back before, and back before it was cute.
Did you get that?
That's mine.
That's the good thing about this. We can just, it's a telemarketer. I'm sure you like that.
Yeah. But it was... I lost my train of thought.
Oh, we were talking about the radio show. I remember coming out being a guest on that show back, like you said, about 10, 15 years ago.
But, you know, we were doing it before it was proper or the cute thing to do
right.
with marijuana. We were doing it when it was still...
It was outlaw.
It was, you were an outlaw. You had to be an outlaw. And if you were going out over the airwaves, which we were,
yeah.
you know, 10, 10, 50... AM, you know, was a federally licensed station.
I get away with a lot because I just do the podcast, so there isn't any.
But you know, that was back when you know, when you could go to jail for doing these things.
Exactly.
You know,
and people did.
And people did. And well, they're still going to jail. Joe. We both know that people are still going to jail for pot.
Exactly. They're not going to jail so much for talking about it.
Yeah, so well,
that's,
you know,
that's we've made some progress.
When I was getting into this, you know, way back 1,000 years ago, people hid even growing one plant.
Hold on, Liz is calling me.
Okay,
we'll just take that room.